Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for kickoffs and kick-ons.
Yes, g'day and welcome once again to Kickoffs and Kick-Ons. That's right, the show. Three ex-footballers and one current baller. Knocking the top off a couple of brews and chatting all things rugby. What a weekend for rugby union. Goodness me. Right across the globe, up in the north, the European Champions Trophy, the semi-finals, gents. Yeah. Couple of ball terrors there. We'll get into it in the pod. Then down south, the superb rugby. I wouldn't be lying if I didn't say six of the greatest games of rugby that I have ever watched. I watched them whistle to whistle. Absolutely great. So we'll get into it in the pod. And you know what else? Our very own Matt Goitan Gitto has made his MLR debut for this season for the San Diego Legion. We will be crossing to him. He'll have all the Legion update for the many millions of Legions fans that watch this show. Hey, but let me ask you this, Swoop, D-O double. What is the viewership? Which country has the highest viewership that watches this show?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's South Africa.
It is South Africa,
is
mate.
It is.
Wow, they love their rugby. Two-time champs.
That makes
back-to-back.
Perfect. They've got four.
No, but two back-to-back. I mean,
back-to-back. Yeah. Sorry, Biff, you are right. Yes, they are our biggest group of fans. And you know what we've done today? Biff, you know what you've done today? You have picked one of the superest of the Super Springboks, and you've got him on the show. You want to tell him who it is?
Well, I mean, we just asked this before, whether he minds going as Chezzy or Chezza. But he actually told me in our communication he'd rather be called two-time. Two-time World Cup winner Cheslin Colby's joining the show.
He's going to join us very,
mate,
very soon.
That's a big get. How'd you get Chesdog?
Well, you know what? I just slid into his DMs.
Oh. Mate, very good. Now, I need to officially introduce the boys. It's part of my job here, so let me do this very quickly. A man who has buns as bouncy as Biltong, it's Biff. Welcome, Biff. Hello. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, hello. Thank you.
A man who loves a rooibos tea, a run around Kruger National Park, and getting all greens at the robots, it's Matt Gitto. Kits, yeah. How are you?
Very, very good. Cinco de Mayo here, so I'm having a little tequila.
I forgot it was Cinco de Mayo. And finally, a man who loves a brie, loves a bet, and babysits his own kids, it's Swoop D-O-double-G. How are you, Swoop?
Good, thanks, bro. Jeez, hey, I copped some shit for that.
From your wife?
Yeah,
or from
the family, the grandparents, everyone, really. I mean, doesn't really make sense to babysit your own kids, does it? Mate, I'm pretty sure every father out there has mentioned it once or twice.
I was up on the Gold Coast on the weekend, losing it at Fisher's Festival. Jeez, got to maybe park up on festivals. I'm 40. But anyway, I had a call at about 11 in the morning, maybe 12 o'clock from Swoop going, hey, mate, what are you doing? Just seeing what you're doing. Maybe if you want to come over and help babysit.
He said it again.
Back-to-back weeks.
Oh, very good. Hey, Goitan, who's babysitting your kids right now? Is it their mother?
Yeah. So Bianca's looking after the kids.
That's right.
Say I've got the kids or I'm never babysitting them, but don't you, Swoop, for trying?
Yeah, mate.
What are you doing for Cinco de Mayo? Are you just smashing a few agaves? What are you doing?
No, so I went out throughout the week knowing that it's going to be Cinco de Mayo and knowing that this pod's going to cruel my chance to celebrate it. So I went out and bought this awesome broso. It's not too bad. Just have a couple of tequilas here and celebrate it with my family.
Big apologies to the Mexican community that watches this show. We had a lot of stuff online. We mixed up the Festival of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
And Cinco de Mayonnaise. It was my mistake.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Two different festivals, okay. I believe. So right. I apologize to all of them. Hey, time for a merch plug. Drew, I've got you down here today.
Yeah. So go for it. The merch is back in stock for most of you. Except for you big thickies out there, we don't have the bigger size. We've got up to 2XL. So a bit of motivation for you to go out, hit the treadmill, get the cardio up, get that heart rate up, and then fit into a 2XL. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer for you thickies out there. But otherwise, go on to the Budgie Smuggler website, / kickoff and kickons, and just get up and get some of your drip.
Some drip.
Yeah, very good. Hey, Swoop, I've got you down to do the social plugs.
Oh, guys. Yeah, exciting. Very exciting segment. You can find us on all socials, kickoffs and kickons, whether that's X, Insta, TikTok, you name it, we got it. Apart from YouTube, it's the only one where it changes, where there's an and in the middle, kickoffs and kickons. Like and subscribe.
We ticked over to 17,000 likers and subscribers, mate. Goyd.
Swoop is on. Like, he read that. I think he should do intros from now on.
Well, Tommy's written one for Cheslin. Should we get Swoop to read it?
He seems on. Swoop, you happy?
I'll have a crack.
All right. Before we do, social snitches, personal favourite. Again, Biv.
Oh, no.
Has missed another one.
Oh, really? Oh, good.
No. You've missed it. Let me read this one to you. This is from Ryan on Instagram. I was hoping Swoop could shed some light on this. That's the DA double. I went to the RWC in Japan, believe that's Rugby World Cup, and had a massive night on my last night, blacked out and woke up without my phone. It took about a month for me to track down my phone, but whoever found it was kind enough to post it to Australia, and this was one of the photos that was on there from my last night in Japan. Let's have a quick look at this. That down the bottom there, Swoop, is you.
Oh, in the white shirt.
Yeah, if you're listening... Swoop is lying on his back. Are you holding something?
Isn't that like an ankle lock? You got about to tap him out?
I don't know. It looks like I'm getting my MMA on.
And then is that Matt Gitto next to you on the ground? Can you see that? That's the top of Gitz's head, isn't it?
Oh no.
No, is that Gitz or is that... That's not his brother Remy, is it?
I don't know.
Wait, when was this? What World Cup was this?
2019.
Yeah, right, okay.
Swoop, I went and caught up with Swoop. With Drew, though, 2019.
Back at the hotel.
Yeah, Swoop was with the Wallabies, and he had on a little fur hat, and I left him. I said, nah, I'm not dealing with Swoop, so I wouldn't have been there.
You're outside the Ganso there. Any memory of that? Just another holiday Swoop moment we should all forget?
Could have been. Oh, I'm sure it was very relaxed. I'm maybe just taking him through a bit of technique, but pretty quiet night that night. Actually, I think the guy in the Wallabies jersey is Dave McGill. Fella.
Oh, fella.
Oh, there you go.
He was just in town over the weekend, actually.
There you go.
Very good. That was Social Snitches. Anything that you find that incriminates these guys, or any member of the staff, maybe something of Hugo, who used to be in Les Mis, or Tommy, Tommy Erskine, whatever you can find of him, send it in, and we'll pop it up on the show. Hey, it is time. Let's get straight into this. Northern Hemisphere Legends. This is a massive segment globally. Mm. Well, mainly in the north, but globally it's massive. Hey, let's do our little sting here, Hugo. Good sting, one of my favourites. I'm going to go first, if you don't mind.
Oh,
gents,
sure.
If that's okay. I've stumbled across something called Japan Rugby League One.
Oh, yeah.
And I obviously got very excited thinking it was
you
Rugby League.
You idiot. Oh. It's Japan League One.
You sure? I typed in Japan. It's Japan Rugby League One. No?
No, it's not Rugby League One.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense because I was like, six again, sir. Why is there so many six again?
Yeah. Without hearing the dong.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, Tokyo Sun Goliath, they went down to the Kubota Spears 26-45. Friend of the pod, Bernard Foley, just tearing it up there.
Yeah, he's doing well, Pig.
Mate, continues to raise eyebrows. No, he's killing it. Another try, a few points. What are you?
Six goals, nine carries, two line breaks.
Two line breaks.
Yeah, and they came from behind, mate. They were down 26-14 with only 35 minutes remaining.
And you did say they're not a chance to make the finals, right? They can only finish fifth.
I think it's pretty rude of you to have that as your NHL, and we've got a Suntory Sungoliath waiting in the wings.
This is why I've brought it up, because my favourite Sungoliath player, because I watch a lot of Japanese Rugby League One, and he wasn't playing. Cheslin Kolbe was not there. Let's do our intro, and then we can ask him as to why he wasn't there. Sure. I couldn't find it out. Hey, Swoop, good news for you, buddy.
This could be anything. Introduce guest, Cheslin Kolbe. Right.
Shit. It's very Ron Burgundy.
Our guest this week on the Coco Show epitomises the saying, it isn't the size of the dog in the fight, but rather the size of the fight in the dog. As this fella has put himself in the picture as one of the best rugby league players in the world.
Rugby league.
Mate. Rugby league. Rugby union players.
Tommy wrote rugby league, did you?
With blistering speed, silky skills, and slippery hips, this Cape Town cannonball has a brutal knack of making defenders wish they had never been born. With 2 World Cup wins, a rugby championship, and a Lions series victory under his belt, this bloke can pretty much say he has done it all. So please welcome a man so slick he will charge down your kick, a fella that says Vamos to Thomas Ramos. He has a clean pair of heels that spends big bucks on his wheels. He's the former Titan of Toulouse, and he's both Tokyo's David and Son Goliath. Please welcome the one and only Mr. Ches Dog Cheslin Kolbe.
Yeah. Hey. Nice Swoop.
I was a little nervous getting through that.
That was amazing. So much better than whoever was reading before that.
what an intro.
You like that one? Cheslin, sometimes... Tommy's intros aren't that nice, but he's clearly a big fan of yours. Welcome to the pod. I was asking you before, have you seen any of this show before?
No, I've seen a bit of it. I love the banter between the boys and just getting under each other's skin. I love the relaxed vibe around everything as well. Like, you know, you get those podcasts where you're a bit stiff and everything, but no, I just love this.
We occasionally, well, Drew in particular gets a little stiff every now and then. But as far as the Suntory, how are you enjoying it over there in Japan? Is there anything like the new experiences? Obviously, the family come and go. I've been watching, but you enjoying it so far?
No, yes, Drew. Matt, like, you know, Suntory, great club, great history. The Japanese people are just amazing. Like, honestly, I haven't seen people disrespectful and polite, willing to help and assist wherever they can. And the club itself has been welcoming to myself and the family. It's a bit tough for me now being here alone with the family coming in and out. But yeah, having a few faces that you know, Kaz and a few of the boys, big Sean McMahon that's here. So showing us around and having us get a few socials together, you know. Just get the boys together.
Mate, we just heard about your game over the weekend. You weren't playing. Can you tell us why and when we can maybe see you back out in the field?
Yeah, no, I've been a bit unfortunate with a few niggles during the course of the season. Been one with my knee, but yeah, back up and running, full fit. So hopefully be back for the semi-final, God willing. So, yeah, just working hard off the field with the physios and doctors and everyone to make sure that I'll be back with the boys. You know, you just want to go out there and have fun, man.
Mate, there's another big name that hasn't played too much at all, and maybe not at all this season, Sam Kane. Is there any? Can you give us some word on when we might see Sam Kane pull the jersey on?
Yeah, hopefully Samo will be back soon. It's been unfortunate as well. Both of us, I think, they signed us coming here, hopefully to play a full season, and yeah, both of us get knocked out quite early. but yeah, that's rugby, and like, you know, things happen, and it happens for a reason. But I think he'll be back hopefully over the next few weeks.
Have you been able to remind him of what happened last year, towards the back end of last year over in France?
No, we don't go there, man.
Hey,
to be quite honest, like it was. Not awkward, but like when we got here, that Sam signed at Suntory as well. Got here our first day together, and we had media, and everything was obviously regarding the World Cup and the final and everything. And I just like try and shut it down because like it's just not, that's not what it's about. It's a new environment and challenge for both of us. Like that's the sad thing about the game. Like there's a winner and a loser, but at the end the rugby wins, and like not. one of us thought that we would have played together and become as close as what we are today.
Mate, it might have been awkward because you're walking around with two World Cup winning medals around your neck. Just rubbing it. You didn't have to say anything.
No, he's a great champion. I think a man that means a lot to New Zealand rugby and a lot of inspiration to a lot of athletes out there just by the way he conducts himself and the way he wants to give back to the game as well. So, yeah. Really good to have him over back in Santoria.
And with Japan rugby, how have you found it? What's been the biggest challenge? Like for me, when I was playing in France, and then I went straight to I was considered somewhat fit in France, but then when I got to Japan, I was with like way back there as far as fitness is concerned. What have you found? What's been the biggest challenges? You know, adjusting.
Exactly that, like. The tempo, the speed, the fitness of the boys over here, I haven't seen anything like this. I thought I was quite fit, but man, I got here my first month and I just couldn't handle the training. And the only thing that like gave me motivation was looking at props out the running man. I was like, no, man, there's no way. And I just tried hanging in there, like not trying to put a face up, but man, deep down I was hurting. So like getting used to the training load, the running and everything compared to France, as you mentioned, was a big challenge. But I think I'm starting to get the hold of the way they want to play and get over the park. But man, these guys can run over here. And like everybody think coming to Japan is just going to be a walk in the park. It's definitely not the case. Mm-hmm. Like you have so many foreign boys, international boys that's come over, that strengthen all the teams, and then the Japanese boys themselves as well. Like man, they top quality players. They're not big, but if you want to see a few knees and ankles go down, these guys can chop, man.
I think that's also the challenge too. As a foreigner, most people outside of Japan don't understand. Swoop, you have experienced it as well, but because you're only allowed certain amount of foreigners to play, each time you're expected to play like man of the match. They want to see Cheslin Kolbe that scored that try against the World Cup final. So it is like it's a tough competition. Those Japanese boys, they work hard. And as a squad, you know, you're only as good as the squad that you've got. Is that how you found it as well?
No, 100%. That's definitely the case. Like everybody has a lot of expectations and everything, but man, it's not about an individual at the end. Like you need to make sure that the boys around you are up to par as well, so that you can contribute and also like learn from them. And I must say, like being at Santoria, I think is one of the best clubs in the league. Just the facilities, the professionalism from the coaches, players, like man, they're really good. And yeah, as I said, like I've only started to like find my feet within a few games, getting used to the pace of it. And you think you have a lot of time on the ball, but man, you have to make decisions quite quick over here.
Yeah, I think we spoke about the challenges. Obviously the league is tough in itself. It's a quality competition with quality players. No one speaks about the 3 or 4 month preseason, which is an absolute flaw, particularly why the game's that far. So I guess I wanted to know, Chez, you know, your experiences over there in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, playing for some great clubs over there and then making the transition down to the top league. And are you enjoying, you know, as opposed to the challenges, are you enjoying the openness of the game, the speed of the game? Are you touching the ball a lot more? Because I found that when I came from Bordeaux in the top 14, particularly through those winter months, you'd hardly touch the ball. It's all about kick chase. Then getting down to Japan, where you're touching the football a lot during the year or during the game. Are you enjoying that aspect? Because obviously you're very deadly with ball in hand. You must be enjoying that.
No, definitely enjoying it. And that's what Santoria is about, is attacking rugby. And man, we just try and give the ball some air and give us opportunities to play. And there's a lot of freedom within the style of play. And yeah, like as you said, coming from France to Japan, it's completely different rugby. I must say in Toulouse, I've had a good time. They had a good brand of rugby, but Japan is just a step ahead in terms of ball in play and wanting to attack all the time. So, man, for me as an individual, I love running with a ball in hand and get a lot of opportunities to create for the boys on the inside and outside of me. So, yeah, definitely exciting part of the game. obviously learning and developing, as I said, because it is my first season here, but it's been great this far.
Cheslin, the boys have already brought up your second World Cup victory in France, which we do congratulate you again. You beat New Zealand in that final. As Australians, we're just wondering what that feels like. has been a long, long time. Does it feel good?
Mate, we're not. That's not for all of us, that question.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I beat him like twice out of 18 attempts. Come on.
No, like, man, to be quite honest, like, South Africa, New Zealand, even Australia, like, there's been that rival for decades, and it's never easy. Like, it all depends on the team on the day that's disciplined, that's willing to grind it out, make sure they're willing to put in that dogfight. And I think for us, yeah, the game didn't go according to plan at times. New Zealand were over us. Yeah, there was a few calls during the game that helped us. But looking back at it now, just to get the victory was obviously amazing for the Springboks, but more so for our country. 2019 was special, but 2023 was just for our people back home. Like, when that final whistle went, like, it didn't sink in as much. But when you get back home, you see all that South African flag. You see the people. Like, yeah, it's unbelievable. And to come up against a great quality team that's been dominating rugby for so many years and playing them in the final and winning it. That's not every kid that gets to say they've done that to team.
Okay, we've let you bask in that glory enough. And you mentioned a couple of cards in the game. What were you feeling when you got sent to the naughty chair after you saw a bit of cheese and had to wait for 10 minutes? What were you? Take us into your mind at that moment.
Man, I'll be honest. As soon as that card was shown, I looked up to the clock and it was like 72 minutes. And I was like, far out. I knew I'm not going back out on the field. Mm. I went down and I honestly couldn't watch the game. I pulled my jersey over my head, and because the crowd was against South Africa because of what happened during the quarter, the semi and everything, like, everybody was for New Zealand. So, like, I was basically just listening to the crowd, and whenever there was, like, going complete chaos, I knew that we were put in trouble. And then it would die out, and then, like, for most of the 8 to 7 minutes that was left, it was just, like, calm, quiet. Like, I'll be quite honest, I went there and I said it before that I firmly believe, as much as I would have loved to finish off the game, it just wasn't my calling for the day to play that full 80 minutes. So I'd go sit in that naughty corner and just pray and think of the boys to just hang in there and keep fighting for each other and for our country. Like, man, it was stressful.
Well, I've got two questions, and they don't really work well too. Like, they don't work together. So the first one would be, obviously, you've seen Invictus. Apparently, Matt Damon, his accent was no good. But if you were to be a new movie about Cheslin Kolbe, who would play you in that movie? And then my second question, so I'll let you get that one out of the way. But my second one would be, in Sevens, back in Australia, like back when myself, Drew, Adam came through, it was a pathway onto 15s. You did a similar thing. Whereas now in Australia, it's seen as Sevens is one, like, it's a sport, an Olympic sport, and then you've got 15s on the other side. Yeah. Do you think that playing Sevens helped you transition into the 15s game, and whether we should probably look at it as a pathway back in Australia again, or whether you see them as two totally different sports? So they don't really work well together.
They're not connected, we'll that's for sure. No, long way apart.
No, but I thought, because with the delay, it's very hard for me to get in. So when I get in, I want to go back.
Yeah, when he gets in, he wants to stay in.
Yeah. Yeah, and rarely does he get out.
No, 100% is a different ball game. But as you mentioned, Matt, like, I believe that for any kid coming out of school or university, it's a good way to learn, because majority of the game is individual battles that you're facing one-on-one against the best of attacking players. You'll get guys from Fiji, Samoa, New Zealand, Australia, to name a few teams. Like, there's so much that exposes you, but you learn so much during that period in on the seventh circuit. And I think more mentally, and you'll become more tougher because of the way you train, the way you can push yourself. Like, there's times when I started at the sevens, like, I passed out a few times, like, during training, like, just because of running so much. And you wake up, you think you're done, you just have to keep going. And that was just the mental part of it that I think helped me transition into 15s and made it, not, I wouldn't say easier, but knowing that having that one-on-one opportunities, and especially on defense, I had the confidence to take it into 15. So I firmly believe for youngsters coming out of school, 7s is a good pathway to grow and develop their rugby careers.
Okay, what about that first question? Then, who's going to play Cheslin Colby in the blockbuster?
Not getting away from that.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm going to need some more time to think on that one. But hopefully having a son now, hopefully he can take over the next responsibility.
Oh, no, you're not getting out of that. It's a current Hollywood actor. Who's going to play you? Pick someone hot.
Oh,
got a bit of rock about you.
Oh, yeah. Dwayne Johnson would be good.
Dwayne on the wing.
Rey Mysterio.
Oh, Rey Mysterio, yeah. That's a great option.
Good shout. Who's playing you, Gitz, in the film about Matt Giteau making it over to the MLR and killing it for San Diego?
So the reason I asked this, and not just because of the Cosmo questions, I got asked it throughout the week. I was like, well, this is a tough one, because if I say someone hot, everyone's going to think, oh, this bloke loves himself. If I say someone shit, I'm thinking, no way he's going to play me. So I was kind of torn. So anyway, I ended up going with Matt Damon.
Can he do the Aussie accent as well as the South African one?
Don't know. But the South Africans, so we were in France at the time when Invictus got released, and Bucky's like, ah, man, that's shit. He's not good. Well, mine's probably no good as well. But they really didn't like his accent.
Who'd play you, Swoop? George Clooney or something?
I'll take George.
Yeah.
Every day of the week.
Yeah.
Who
you got, Drew?
Brad Pitt or obviously Chris Hemsworth when I was fit.
Okay, so what about now?
Lewis Litt. Who's that guy?
No, what's that?
You could be Paul Giamatti.
Not Lewis Litt. Litt from the Suits.
No, Chris...
Chris Farley.
Chris Farley. Chris Farley. Look him up.
Sadly.
Yeah, he's passed on, so he can't play me. But.
And I'd just be some bald prick. So, Stanley Tucci, very good. Hey, I wanted to ask you, Chezzy, about the charge down on the conversion, which against France, the game I've read three or four articles today saying it's the greatest game of rugby union that ever played. Obviously, they didn't see Manly versus Gordon on the weekend, Shoot Shield. It's a bloody good game. But I wonder, Sadie, have you realised now when you watch rugby how many wingers are now going for that charge down on the conversions? Yeah. It's like you've started a revolution.
It's actually quite funny. Like, I think there's a lot of the boys that's been doing it. Like, I just don't think we were quick enough appearing in the camera screen. That's why you don't see the boys charging them down. Me as well. I think, what happened in the World Cup, man, I won't take the credit for it. It's been a lot of studying and analysing, and obviously getting to know Thomas for a few years playing with him in France definitely helped a little bit. But like for us, it was just for the whole team was not to have any regret at the end of any game during that World Cup, and that was the way we looked at it, and just try and put ourselves in any position, opportunity as much as possible. But definitely seeing a lot of the wingers, fullbacks, chasing down the conversions now.
I think off the back of yours, even Bernard Foley got Chaz down maybe 2 weekends ago. It wasn't against Suntory. But we did a podcast. I can't even remember the name that we're doing it for. But we did it, and I think it was Swoop. Was it Swoop that you said, Colbs, Chezzo, he was offside, or you were against?
Ooh. You said by 3 to 4 metres he was offside, I remember.
Yeah, someone.
Sweet.
I needed another angle. I need another angle. But, you know, after hearing Chez Dog's insight around knowing his Ramos's move, his process, his movement, it made complete sense. And obviously, I mean, there was probably a little bit of jealousy behind it too, because every winger or every back has a crack at charging down a kick and always wants to get hand to a ball but never really succeeds. And obviously, Chez did it pretty easily on one of the biggest stages in world rugby,
it
right?
It
was the difference. So,
Chez, you obviously played with Tomas at Toulouse for a long time. I would assume that you guys are friends. Have you spoken to him about that moment since?
No, I haven't spoken to him about that moment since. Honestly, he's a good friend of mine. I respect him quite a bit. But, I just think he's gotten a lot after what's happened in that quarterfinal from the public in France. You know how the French can get. Mm. Even myself, I get a lot of messages saying, oh, cheat and all of that. But, that's just how the game goes. Everybody wants the team to win and be successful, and same for us. But, for him in that moment, definitely not real for him, but he's still been showing what a great player he is by performing week in and week out for Toulouse in the semi-final the past weekend too. So, so happy for him.
Chezlin, we do need to also look forward. We had Duane Vermeulen on. Mm. Sorry,
stop calling him Duane.
Duane. And we asked him, because there's this debate at the moment, the NHLs, the Northern Hemisphere legends, like to say that Ireland is the best team in the world, even though they didn't make it out of the quarterfinals. That's okay. They take on you guys, the Springboks, in July. Let me ask you what you think will happen and what your opinion of this whole Ireland's the best team in the world thing.
Yeah, I think because they've been so successful over the past 2 years, being number one, number two for so long and dominating over the Six Nations, leading into the World Cup, especially last year, they've been unbelievable. I don't think South Africa's won in, 6 years almost now. There is that talk that they are the number one team in the world. And for us, we live in our own reality. We try and make our own history. And I think the biggest game we wanted to win during the World Cup last year was Irish, because of Coach Rassi and Chalk coaching in at Munster. They had a lot of input, they had a lot of background, and that one was quite personal for them. So, it's going to be a big one. Hopefully, if I'm a part of the team in coming July to play against the Irish, will be special. Coming to South Africa, being at Loftus altitude, good challenge. The bosses you don't get used to that at all. But that's definitely going to be, I think, set the tone for what a lot of people has spoken about.
Chezlin, there's a long line of elite wingers in the Springbok history, but I'm just going to need you to be honest with me here. I want you to start one, bench one, and drop one, right? Out of Chester Williams, Brian Habana, and Chezlin Colby. You've got to be honest. Don't just drop yourself just to kind of, be that humble guy. Just give us your honest opinion out of the three.
I'll be quite honest. Both your name is both I've looked up to and got a lot of advice from, so I'll definitely have to drop myself.
Brian.
No.
Brian.
Mate, have that confidence. Start yourself.
I'll drop myself and go with Chester and Brian.
Okay, well, which one are you starting and who are you benching?
When we're at Toulon, we drop Brian. You can drop Brian.
BH. I think, BH maybe. He will take it quite hard to be dropped. Chester Williams. Man, that's a tough one. Start one, I'll go with Brian and bench Chester.
Let me ask you the same question, but let's change the athletes. Let's go Drew Mitchell, Adam Ashley Cooper, and Matt Giddo.
Bench one, start one.
What was it? Bench one, start one.
And drop one.
And drop one.
Drop one.
No, that's a tough one.
Don't worry, mate.
You're going to need Matt because Matt can cover everywhere in the background. Yeah. Adam, the same. Big Drew. Wing fullback.
You won't hurt our feelings. It's okay.
We're dropping Drew.
I'll go with Matt start and Big Adam on the bench.
Yeah.
That's it. Fuck it off.
Beat it. Beat it, Biv.
His own question.
Beat it, Biv.
You've always been a better double dirty anyway.
Very good. Hey, Cheslin, we have kept you along.
What is that being off the field there, man?
Tommy has written a quiz. Would you like to rip through this, Cheslin? What we like to do is we make the guest the subject of our quiz, or often it's the country they play for. And then I get the three guys to compete against each other, and then you reveal the answer in the event that you know it. Are you happy to do that?
Yeah, happy.
Very good. Gentlemen, the subject of the quiz today, I know you like me to get it out in front, is Cheslin, Colby, and the Springboks.
Okay.
Both. All right, we ready? Right. It's time now for... Hopefully you put something in there. Otherwise, I look a bit crazy, right? All right, here we go, the quiz. In 2019, Cheslin was nominated for Men's 15s Player of the Year, but suspiciously didn't win. Who won the award that night? A, Peter Steph Detoit. B, Alwyn Wynne-Jones. C, Tom Curry. Or D, Artie Sevilla. Let's start with you, Biv.
Well, I mean, South Africa, England in the final. Was it Tom Curry? I'm going to go Peter Steph Detoit.
That's the A.
Sevilla.
Sevilla. Goit.
Nah, it's A.
Hey, do you know who it was, Cheslin?
Yeah. Peter Steph Detoit.
You got the scores there, Tommy. A ding, ding, ding. Swoop. Lagging. In 2021, vision emerged of Cheslin doing something on the field that went viral after a Toulouse game. What was Cheslin doing on the field? Was it A, he did three backflips in a row? B, did a handstand and walked from the in-goal to the halfway line? C, he picked up rubbish? Or D, practice charging down kicks at goal?
I think he was picking up rubbish.
Picking up rubbish?
Picking up rubbish.
Oh, no. Goit.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm going with C.
Oh, Cheslin, I think we all know the answer.
Yeah, C.
Picking up rubbish.
Good man. Good man.
Ding, ding, ding. Why did you do that?
No, I was actually talking to Coach Stephen Locke. Yeah, Lockham after the game and a few other South African boys, and just on my way down to the locker, I just saw a lot of rubbish and I was like, man, I might as well just pick it up.
Is that, does Bernie Larkham?
I would have got Stephen Larkham. Yeah, I would have got Stephen Larkham to pick it up.
Honestly, firstly, just like getting him off to the game, like I was actually starstruck because I didn't. First, just getting to meet him because I've watched him as a kid, and then talking to him, like, man, I was actually lost for words. I didn't know what to say or what to talk about.
Yeah, they say you should never meet your heroes.
he's really special.
Do we all agree on that there with Bernie? Yes.
Yeah.
He's a bit underwhelming. For me, it's underwhelming.
Yeah. Question number three. During the 2023 Rugby World Cup, young Springbok fan Desi Coolen went viral for singing I Feel Good at a school talent show wearing the Springbok jersey. His fame grew so much that he was at the trophy parade in Johannesburg singing his song and talking to the crowd. His favourite player is Cheslin Colby. So you gave him your World Cup medal, Cheslin. Mm-hmm. That's very good of you. But what was his hard-cutting advice to captain Sia Khaleesi? Was it A, he should tackle lower? B, he should get less yellow cards? Why are you such a naughty boy? C, pass the ball. You can't just run with the ball and think you can score. D, give yourself an uppercut. let's go. Swoop, you first.
I'm going to go the yellow cards.
Yellow cards. Goit.
Gee, I was hoping Drew would come in because he knows this, I'm sure. I'm going to go yellow cards with Swoop.
Yellow cards as well.
I'm going to say tackle lower.
Tackle lower. Okay, we've actually got the answer here. Actually, before we roll it in, do you know the answer, Cheslin?
Yeah, I do. You want me to tell?
We'll roll it in. Here we go. Roll it in.
And Sia Khaleesi, a see. Have you ever seen my messages? Pass the ball.
Pass the ball.
Oh, we're all wrong.
Yeah. Man, we always shocked when he brought that
up. You can't just run with the ball and think you can just score.
There you go. Hey, Cheslin, do you remember the advice that he gave you, what he said to you?
No, he's just looked up to me and was like, just keep doing what you're doing. You inspire me a lot. And, yeah, I'm not big as well, so you just keep fighting and show these big boys.
Yeah, it was. It was along the lines. Yeah. You've got it here, don't you, Tommy? Let's roll it in. That was pretty much it, but he had a great line.
Cheslin Kobe. You're my favourite. Because you inspired me. So that's why I want to be a pocket rocket just like you.
Oh, nice.
So he
pocket
said,
rocket.
Yeah. I want to be a pocket rocket just like you, which is very nice. Very good. Okay. No one got the answer right there.
No, we didn't.
Goit and...
I think we're all even.
No, mate. Don't try that. Swoop is losing. Question number four. In the 2023 Rugby World Cup, Cheslin saw some cheese in the final against the All Blacks. What did Cheslin do on the sideline after the siren went? Was it A, walked into the sideline official because he was upset? B, kicked over the sin bin chair when he was sitting on it, that he was sitting on? C, kissed the ground? Or D, dabbed down the barrel of the camera?
I think he kissed the ground.
Kissed the ground?
Kissed the ground.
Kissed the ground. Goit?
Yeah, that was easy.
Cheslin, do you remember what you did?
Now you got me thinking here now as well. I go, yeah, kiss the ground.
No, it was you bumped into a sideline official because you were upset and you weren't looking where you were going.
Oh,
what an asshole.
There needs to be an investigation.
So,
I don't remember that one, huh?
No, it is on the vision. If you want to get on YouTube and have a look, you can see Cheslin walking into the back of an official. Oh, okay, no.
We can't ruin his image.
No, it's very accidental. All right, question number five. Cheslin is considered a frugal man, but he loves buying fast cars. In a viral TikTok from 2021, he is driving fast in his souped-up Nissan Skyline with his wife. What was the top comment on this post? Now, you might not know the answer to this, Cheslin, but we've had a look at this today. Question A, when he wants to get somewhere faster, he gets out and runs. B, I was expecting him to be wearing his scrum cap. C, RIP Paul Walker, Fast and Furious for life. D, how many phone books is Cheslin sitting on? Which one is it, Drew?
I'm going to go A.
Get out and run faster.
Yeah, definitely run faster.
Gits.
Oh, I've heard the textbooks that you're sitting on. I've heard that line before, so I'm going to go with that.
No, unfortunately, it's B. I was expecting him to be wearing his scrum cap was the number one.
Oh, really?
And so there you go. Congratulations to... Actually, we've got a tiebreaker, do we? Yes, because Bibb and Goit are tied. Sorry, yep. Cheslin, just this last one. In the 2019 World Cup final against England, which English player did Cheslin step to score a try in the 74th minute? Do you remember?
Bing, 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 bing.
Goit, is it... do you want to just give me the answer?
Owen Farrell.
Oh, there you go.
What are the options?
Courtney Laws, Mauro Itoje, Owen Farrell, or Joe Marler?
Well, he's gone in early. I don't like to do what Swoop does and just copy everyone else's answers, so I'll go Itoje.
Incorrect. It is Owen Farrell.
Well done, Goit.
Thank you, Cheslin. Thank you very much. Hey, Cheslin, thank you so much for joining us. Mate, we kept you longer than we promised. I apologised for that. Boys, is there anything you want to say to Cheslin?
No, mate. Thanks very much for taking the time and all the best with selection with the box against world number twos later in the year.
No, thank you so much. Thank you for having me as well. And yeah, privileged to be talking to the legends of the game. And yeah, just all the best to you guys and yeah, keep going.
Thanks, bro.
All the best, Ches Dog.
It's definitely
nice. Two time.
Go Suntory. Go Suntory.
Actually, yeah. Sorry, Ches, you played for Toulon, then to Suntory. Gits, you played Toulon, then Suntory. Chaz, are you going to end up at San Diego Legion?
Oh, mate, we got no bag here.
Meadow.
You can move in with Corbs as well.
Thank you, Chaz. Very good. We'll chat to you shortly.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Well, hey, gentlemen, that is a genuine world beater there.
Yeah.
Two-time. I like the nickname. Yeah, he seemed to like it.
Yeah, TT.
Two-time. We seem to be speaking to a lot of these South Africans that have won a lot of World Cups lately. It's a real...
if you hang them around long enough.
Group of people we tend to run in. Okay, NHL's continues. This blockbuster segment... Gits, over to you over there in the Northern Hemisphere currently. First of all, how is it up there?
Oh, it's going good. I thought you were throwing to me for the some Northern Hemisphere rugby, but I've not watched the thing.
Mate, you played in the Northern Hemisphere.
It's you.
You it's played.
Yes. Right, I thought I'm North America.
That's in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah, above the equator, Goit. We established this last week.
I know, but honestly, The subject in school I struggled with massively was geography. Yeah. Everyone's into me about, like, Japan. That's Northern Hemisphere. I said, fellas, not everyone knows that, but everyone knew.
Well, anyway, how'd your team go? You played today, didn't you? Yes. How did you go?
Yeah, so we did. So I played last 20-odd minutes. It was a tough game. We played Dallas. They're a good side, gutsy side. Lots of Argentinians there. They love to tackle, good line speed. But we got the win. I think it was, I'd be lying if I knew the score, but we're up by six. We won by six. It might have been 26-20, I think. It was good for me. I was pretty nervous going into it. Well, not going into it, but then when the scores were so close and we're into a bit of a breeze, it was like trying to shut the game down when you didn't really have the feel for the game. So, yeah, happy you got through it. Really happy that we got the win for Legion to move forward. And happy that, I just got that game out of the way. I didn't feel like I did anything special or made any real mistakes except for the one kick for touch, which I'm sure Drew is going to touch on. but other than that, it was just good to get the win and get through that game.
Now, Goit, we have been... given some vision of you playing, we also emailed it to you. So because we are an internet TV show, are you able to press play at the same time as we do and then you talk us through the vision?
Okay.
If this was real TV, we'd be having conniptions, but who cares? We're pirates, boys.
Yeah, we're pirates.
Yeah. Pirates.
Okay, so tell me when you're pressing.
I'm going to count you in. Ready? 3, 2, yep. 1. Press play, Tommy.
Go, yeah.
So this is when you've...
Like talking to Horgy. So that kid to the left, that's Tim Horan's son.
Yeah, 15.
Alex Horan. He's a way better player than Timmy.
Timmy put up on his socials that he would have loved to have played with you and Ma.
Yeah, a lot of cut balls there, I reckon. He's a bit of a ball hog from what I've heard. No, but that's the argument. You look at Ma and Timmy Horan, they're both two of the greats to play at 12. So
there's a lot of hand covering when you're talking. What's so secret, Gits?
Well, you know what it's like, son. You just get used to covering the mouth so that no one knows the calls. Not that we'll play them again, but still.
Now, this is you. Is this a penalty here? This is to take guys.
So just before this, they said, and Matt Giddo with his first points for the Legion before it even kicked. So I'm going,
oh wow.
I'm a good chance of shanking this.
And it only just snuck in.
Yeah. And that was
No, that's just the angle, son. That was all right. It was straight through the middle.
Okay, nice.
That was your 101th point.
101st.
Did you raise
MLR your point? Was that right?
Yeah, no, that was 101 for you. 98 point, you got with the Guillotines. Did you raise your scrum cap or anything? Did you? You didn't know?
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm a bit upset that the boys didn't know about that. No one mentioned that in the post-match presser.
Well, anyway, so Ollie, the super rugby nerd here, has been keeping count of your MLR points. So apparently,
this is a good play. This is to win it. The dying stages of the game. Only
the old length to play.
Yeah. It's a good little line from T.O. just back on the inside. Look at him just come back to the short side here. And then bang, switch directions. Thank you. Canadian international, just come on. First game of the year, just scores the winner.
Mate, you are still the greatest colour man
Canadian,
in this sport.
Canadian international?
Yeah.
DJ that scored the try. Yeah.
Very good commentator.
That was his first game back after he did his shoulder. Gee, you know your stuff, Drew. There it was, 30-24, so it wasn't 26-20. I was wrong.
Anyway, big congratulations. Yeah. Who have you guys got next week?
So we've got a bye next week. Was thinking about heading to Mexico, but that seems a bit risky at the moment.
Yeah.
So plans are put on hold. Then the following week we play New England Free Jacks, who was the team that beat the Legion in the grand final. So it's going to be a big week for us.
Very good. Very exciting. Congratulations. Good NHL update. Obviously, we had the European Champions Cup taking place as well. Gentlemen, you've each been given a game to cover. Drew, let's start with you. Toulouse 38, they defeated the Harlequins 26. A couple of friends of the pod in the Harlequins team, Joe Marler, Danny Kerr.
Yeah, but they'll watch the final, whereas Toulouse will be playing in it. I think it's probably the final most probably predicting. Leinster versus Toulouse, two of the best teams in the world at the moment. Consistently the best. Antoine Dupont was sharp as always. Two tries. Harlequins came back in the second half, gave him a good little fight there. But Toulouse, the class of them and the depth they've got. I mean, Ramos off the bench and these guys going well. And a couple of Aussies playing over there in Toulouse as well.
Go the Aussies. Which Aussies are at
Well,
Toulouse?
Arnold, one of the Arnold twins.
Oh, yes.
Richie Arnold's playing. Locking down with Manny Mirfu, who's actually now changed allegiance to France, but he was a player here in the Shoot Shield before going over there. So a couple of guys floating around with
very
some
good.
Go connections.
Australia. Swoop, Leinster 20, Northampton Saints 17.
Leinster, too big, too strong, too clinical. I mean, they started really well. Rob Lowe bagged a triple, which is always special.
James Lowe or Rob Lowe?
Sorry. Who did I say?
Rob Lowe, the actor.
Yes, yeah.
Mate, Rob Lowe, the actor. Very good.
Yeah, so he got a triple
he
on the edge.
He could play you in a movie, actually.
He could. Have to grey up a little, add a little bit more salt. Gibson Park was strong. I mean,
it's going to be a good battle next week. Not next week, but in the final, Gibson Park versus DuPont. Two of the inform nines going around.
Absolutely. There you go. NHL's. When is the final?
Later.
I believe it is at where the Tottenham Hotspur play, which is what's the club called? Tommy, you're a Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Tommy's a big Hotspur nerd, and he talks about it a lot, and I don't listen. Okay. Hey, we now move on to the superb rugby. It is now time for the rugby roundup segment. As I said to you, six of the greatest games of rugby union ever played over the weekend. Gentlemen, I watched every second.
Did you?
Neglected my children. Said, Daddy's not doing daddy today.
Yeah, right.
I'm just going to watch the Hurricanes defeat the Waratahs 41-12. Hurricanes blew the Tars away to a 26-0 lead. Unfortunately for the Waratahs, it goes from bad to worse. You are Mr. Waratah, talk to me. What do they do?
Well, we're both Mr. Waratahs, but what do they do? Well, I mean, they've this patch, though, I guess run of games they were in, they're playing the top three teams. You know, I guess some points would have been nice, but, you know, they just got shut down really early. And it's looking throughout the competition, we're seeing teams that start very well are going on to win games. But, yeah, I mean, they're up against a world-class team. Like the Hurricanes are on fire at the moment. The way they're playing football, they're so accurate in how they play, how they pass. I mean, they're getting over the advantage line. They're playing fast. They're playing on top of teams. And they're just so accurate and so clinical. And it's just playing on so much momentum.
Yeah, and it's going to get tougher for the Tars. They keep getting more injuries. Julian Heaven, who plays hooker, he got injured as well. With, I think his shoulder put him out for the rest of the year. There's eight front rowers, so props and hookers that aren't available from this, like from the starting squad. There's only two, Harry Johnson-Holmes and I think Stringer, that are still fit out of the the initial squad from the start of the year. So that's just going to test them even further. I mean, everyone knows how hard it is to play off a set piece that's struggling a little bit. And, you know, guys are probably getting a chance probably sooner than they thought. And
adding salt to the wound, Drew, I was down at North Sydney Oval on the weekend watching Norse get over Randwick. Unlucky Stephen Hoyles. Matt Jorgensen.
Yeah,
grade three hamstring.
Oh, grade three.
Grade three.
Oh, is that what we're hearing? Under the knife?
Could be, potentially.
Grade three normally is.
So, you know, that's unlucky for Max. You know, he's had a pretty tough run, but, you know, that doesn't help, I mean, certainly the back three.
Parise and Fichetti got picked up injuries. I don't know how serious. So, but it's going to be tough for them.
But looking ahead, you know, they've got some winnable games. You know, they take the Brumbies on at home next week. And then after that, they've still got Moana. They've got the Reds and another team that they can certainly win. But there's points.
So out of the Brumbies, Moana and Reds, which ones of those are winnable?
Say, which game's winnable?
Yeah. They all are, mate. They all are. Right, and they're only 100%. 5 points off the, you know, off Drua, who are sitting in seventh or in the top eight. So it's pretty tight.
I've watched a lot of rugby, and for me, I felt like the contact area was poor on both sides of the ball. I feel like they aren't tackling hard enough, and they aren't carrying the ball hard enough.
I feel like you sound a lot like Chris Whittaker.
You heard that, did you?
I'm pretty sure you're reading his quote.
Chris and I, we have similar sentiments when it comes to the Waratahs. Yeah, no, you're right. No weight, you're right. Gets no weight. Okay, hey, Blues 38, Rebels 11. Geez, not great for the Aussie teams. We might race through this one. Yeah. Well, the Rebels were in it for a bit of it, at least up until half
time. Well, they lost both their centres at the same time as well in the first half. That's always going to be tough, both midfielders having to replace those. But I just think, I think the depth and the confidence and the belief that the Blues have at the moment. You know, sometimes when you just get into a moment of the game, it could go either way. Sometimes having, you know, that run of form and that confidence and belief in what you're doing can go a long way in making sure you come out the other end of those 50-50s or those moments where maybe a bit of doubt or people might tend to kind of like act individually as opposed to within their systems and stuff. And then once the momentum came, the Blues are just too good.
Gets Mark Talia is something special. In particular, his second try where he managed to get around Taniela Tupou. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, I did. And Taniela still tried to chase him down even though he was behind him. I thought that was admirable.
He's firing at the right time. There you go. Let's move on from that one. Highlanders 28 defeated Moana 17. Amazing moment for Super Rugby. Tonga, they become the 11th nation to host a Super Rugby match.
Wow.
Amazing ceremony. They both teams met the Tongan royal family before. A big moment for that, for both teams. 12 players in the Pacifica squad, they had Tongan heritage, so they really celebrated it. Unfortunately for Moana, they went down to the Highlanders. Did you catch any of it, Swoop?
No, that one.
I actually did because of the time zone worked in well over here.
Perfect.
So I think it was on at midday maybe in Australia, which is 7 p.m. here. I thought, obviously conditions weren't great. It was a very special occasion and it looked like it meant a lot to both teams, obviously not just from the finals, but also for whatever reason that game, I think there's a couple of Tongan players playing for the Highlanders as well. It seemed like it just meant a lot to them. Even after the game, I thought that was not strange, but different that they play the national anthem afterwards and the Tongan national anthem after the game. And they all stand there silently before they've shaken hands and said good game. They just stand there quite respectfully listening to the national anthem.
Something that struck me was how similar the jerseys were. It was interesting that I don't know what was the thoughts there. And as it got muddier and muddier, you couldn't tell the two sides apart. I thought the Highlanders could have gone for a much brighter.
I think the Highlanders jersey was the old school one, wasn't it? The retro jersey, I mean, they look pretty different to me, but... Again, what would I know? Maybe connection over here was different.
I thought that last week with the Force versus the Highlanders. Like, it was just too close. They're not exactly the same. It was just like dark blue and royal blue. Like, just wear yellow.
And I couldn't work the contrast on the TV, Gits, which I know you're very good at. We've learned that in weeks gone by. It's a real special.
That with geography, that one.
Reds 33 defeated the Crusaders 28. This was a big moment in history. Snapped a 25-year losing streak. Not since. Let me give you some of the names in the last team that beat them. Tim Horan, mate of yours, Gits. Ben Tune, Daniel Herbert, Nathan Sharp. That was back in 1999. The Reds, they're gaining momentum.
Yeah, they're looking good, and the junkyard dog just came bounding over.
Another double.
Yeah, and another double. So he's got five tries in two games. He's doing some good work there. And I think Harry Wilson's in great form as well. I know we've spoken about Fraser McWright a lot on the pod, and also justifiably so, but I think also Harry Wilson's just looking in some fine form this afternoon.
I'd love to know his carry numbers, because he put his hand up for a lot of that game and was leading.
And he also got a charge down try as well. He's just in everything.
The first junkyard dog try, where it was from inside their own 40, went sideline to sideline. That's amazing try. Fraser McWright, the last
good support.
Pass. Absolutely. Right, let me ask you, Swoop, is the junkyard dog, is that a double G on the back of that? Or is that still just a single? When does he earn his double G?
That's a really good question.
Junkyard D-O-double.
Maybe 100 tests later, I'm not too sure.
You wanker.
So were you always just a single G?
Yeah, I was always a single G.
He was just D-O-G. And that was...
He's in form, and it's exciting because, you know, we love seeing these young kids come up, particularly, you know, our positions, and so we can relate closely to, you know, these guys having genuine crack. But the Reds in particular, like, they're playing some great football, making really good decisions on when they kick, when they run. Like, you know, they must be pretty happy with their performances, but it seems like they've got a belief. They know where they're going. They're clear on their vision on how they want to play, and like they look like a really strong unit. You know, you look
Les Kiss.
Nice. Yeah, like you look at. I mean, not only are their performances on the ball are really good and strong, but how they're connecting and aligning off the ball. It looks really strong. But also going back to McWright, he had a couple of crucial turnovers in the game. Like he was fantastic.
Scored the opening try. Did everything right. Harry Wilson, 15 carries.
Wow.
Wowee.
Strong. Chiefs, 56, defeated the Force, 7. Anybody?
No, it was a tough one. Yeah. Tough one.
Can I just say one thing? It was May the 4th, which is Star Wars Day. Mm. And what a wonderful moment for a team called the Force to play on Star Wars Day.
Yeah.
I think that's all we need to say about that game.
The Force was not with them.
No. It was not strong.
But also, I mean, I guess off the field, Darcy Swain's just committed to the Western Force moving forward. There's been whispers of that for a couple of months now, but that's been confirmed. So they're doing some good recruiting work over there in the Force. So moving forward, putting a strong squad together.
Very, very good. Brumbies, the Brums, 28 defeated Drua, 20. They got off to an early lead, but then the Fijians came home with a wet sail. Gitz, did you watch your Brums on the weekend?
I certainly did. I was surprised how dominant the Fijian, the Drua, their scrum was. But they were against some Wallaby front rowers, and they were getting massive pay from their scrum. Outside of that, I thought it was a great contest. I thought the Brumbies would have done it a lot easier, but I think that's showing the growth with the Drua, how much better they're getting as a unit, competing away from home, not just playing well at home. So it was a big win for the Brums. They needed it, but it was a lot tougher, I think, than I expected.
Coach Stephen Larkham, he said it was one of the Drua's best performances. Mm. So
yeah, he was impressed with the way his team sort of stuck at it and held them out because they were coming home strong.
Let me ask you, Swoop, that number 13 position in our halfway Wallabies, starting 15, do you want to make a change?
Potentially, yeah. The last two games from Mickey Tao have been very, very strong. It's coming back.
Which are the first two games of Mickey Tao you watched?
Look, I don't want to put the mocker on him, but he's in form, and it looks like he's becoming a little bit more comfortable with his position, the combinations around him. They've got a great midfield relationship, those two. They're playing really good football. They know how they want to play the Brums. You know, they're strong in their set piece.
So you put him in or
not? You want to put him in the halfway Wallabies? Because Tommy's getting up. He's getting the whiteboard marker.
Let's throw Len.
Tommy.
Oh, poor Fluky.
Yeah, well, I mean.
He can get back in.
Look, mate, can we make it a dash?
Part of the team.
No, I don't think we do dashes.
No, you can't dash.
Tommy, bring it in. Here we go. We've been, Hugo's yelling at us. Bring it in. Look, sorry, for those of you listening, we're bringing the halfway Wallabies board in.
Bench and Fluky.
Yeah. And congratulations to Mr. Icky Tao. It'd be big for him that he's in our halfway Icky Wallaby
dog.
Side.
Yeah. Icky dog, 1G.
1G?
1G.
We know when he gets the second one. all right. Well, hey, that was it. That was the superb rugby. 6 of the greatest games ever played. It just gets stronger and stronger. There is only 4 weeks before we get to the semis. And what we're going to do in a little bit is I'm going to get you gents to look into your crystal balls and pick your top 8. We'll finish the show with that. That's our grand finale. Before we do, you know what it's time for? It's our favourite segment, mate. It's the Super Sizzler segment.
Yes.
Super Sizzler, thanks to Beefeater.
Very, very good. As a reminder, every week the weather is wonderful outside, not in Sydney. I'm not sure in Brisbane. Other areas, the weather is wonderful. Make sure you can still fire up your barbecue and keep watching plenty of superb rugby. A massive thanks to Appliances Online. They got Beefeater on board. The Barbie's over there. We cook most days on it. Hugo still lives in this studio. And that's the fridge. That's wonderful as well. Thank you very much to them. Who wants to go first with their superb sizzler for the week? I feel like you should go first this week.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Look, I want to give a... almost like an imaginary Beefeater to Darcy Breen. He's the SEAL leader of our mini team over here. He was phenomenal again today. He presented me my beer for my first cap for the Legion, and the way he presented it was amazing. I know he loves the show. He wants to get on the show, but Darcy, you'd probably end up getting edited. So that's the imaginary Beefeater for Darcy. My real Beefeater is going to go to Len Ikitau.
Oh,
I think he's added a lot more to the Brumps. Sorry, Swoop, I don't know where you're going. But, yeah, I thought even that try off that little grubber kick, picked the ball up off his toes. He's come back with a lot of confidence, and I think he's adding a lot to the Brumbies.
Do you want to, who wants to ask Gitz? Do you want to ask him?
Do you know if Lenny has a Beefeater, Goit?
He doesn't, but he was staying with Tamari Tua, so, but they may need something else.
Yeah. Might need a bar fridge. One.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, we'll send something, Beefeater. Who would like to go next, gents? Toss it up.
I'll go.
Here we go.
I just think you can't go past Queensland. It's been a long time since they won over there in Christchurch to do it the way they did it. And I know, I just feel like they're sort of really building at the right time of the year. What, 4 weeks out from the semis, you know, you've got to be, you know, putting those types of performances back to back, and those types of wins, those big wins, can really have a big impact on your season moving forward, going into the finals. So I thought, and also saw a couple of the former players they took over there. Elton Flatley, Stephen Moore were over there for the trip. And I don't know, I just like what the Queensland Reds are doing as an organisation on and off.
It's all Les Kiss, mate. Yep. It's all Les Kiss. Obvious question, do they, any of them?
Look, I think they need a Beefeater at Ballymore, at the headquarters where they train. Yeah, I think they'd love one on the hill there.
Yeah,
we'll send one up. Super Sizzler.
Super Sizzler for me. Maybe an imaginary one to Harry Wilson. I mean, he was so strong. 15 carries. Man, it almost deserves 15 Beefeaters. But does it have to be part of the superb?
No, we're casting the net wide. Yeah, pathways, you can do that.
Hard to go past North Sydney's win over Randwick on the
weekend. Fuck off.
At North Sydney, number one. Tight, gritty win. Conditions were tough. I mean, being down there and witnessing a good win, it was...
Mate, you can't go to one board meeting in 6 months and then start spruiking your North's love.
Final, obviously, Randwick got the fruit over North, but, you know, there wasn't that much emotion in it, I'm sure, from the boys, but they turned up, they played well, and, you know, they've started really well. Zach Beer's doing a really good job there.
Mate, this is not a promotion for your club.
Would you, Tom? It's not a promotion at all. It's my sizzler. Send it, mate. Here it is.
There you go. For those listening, he now has his...
I was actually babysitting my young bloke Ace on the weekend. He really enjoyed the game on the weekend. But yeah, I think ask me if any of those,
Do any of the
Shawmen have a Beefeater?
Do they have a Beefeater?
No, they don't. But I reckon they'd really enjoy one.
No, they'd all have like those. No, I don't know. Keep going.
Okay, my super sizzler of the weekend. I'm going to go Damien McKenzie.
D-Mac.
I watched it cover to cover. And five for six from the tee. He scored another try. And I'm leading the charge. I think he should be the number 10 instead of Beauden Barrett.
Ooh.
Jeez. He's got a few Beefeaters courtesy of you too, Prof.
Yeah. Can I tell you why I like him? Mm. When he does that thing and he's aiming up for a kick and he looks up and he smiles.
Yeah.
Gets me every time. Do you do that, Goit? Why don't you smile at the screen?
Probably because I think I'm going to miss. He's very confident that he'll get it.
Do you like the smile at the screen?
Yeah, I think it's good. Obviously, the broadcasters like it because they put it up on the big screen and all the crowd react. And I don't know. Everyone's got their own little thing. But
do you reckon when you're young, though, like, wouldn't the coach say, mate, stop smiling, like, take it serious? Like, at what point do you just push through and you know you're that good that you can just go to the coach?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably when you don't miss.
Yeah, definitely.
And no, he doesn't.
Interesting, yeah. Just to your point around the 10. David Havili played 10 for the Crusaders over the weekend. Obviously lost against the Reds. But there were sort of some suggestions that maybe that was coming from the All Blacks coaching staff.
Popping him in 10.
Putting him in at 10. Wanted to have a look at him at 10.
I like this. A bit of chaos where they're not sure. Where's Mwanga? What's he doing? Will he come back?
He's gone overseas. I don't know if he's coming back, but Bowden is.
I like this. I like when the All Blacks start getting a bit confused. All right, there it was, the Superb Sizzler. Another great week of that. Congratulations to the Beef Eater. Hey, we have a brand new segment this week.
What is it?
It's called What's Drewing? Oh. We've got a sting and everything. Have a look at this.
What's Drewing?
That's right, Gits and Swoop. Drew he's asked for a new segment.
What's Drewing?
I did not ask for a new segment. I just said, can we just maybe chat about a topic? And then you created a segment.
Yeah, I like it. What's Drewing?
Well, not maybe a little segue into What's Drewing. What's Drewing with your socks?
What do you mean?
Are they the natural color, or have they gone through a dark rinse?
That's how you buy them.
Because that color
is off.
For
those of you listening, it looks like a white sock that's been in with a blue hat.
Yeah.
No, you just get them in sort of the pastel color.
Oh, all right.
That'd do your head in, Sweep. Oh, man. Sweep's very particular on keeping his white socks white.
Be going on upstairs at the moment, just casting on.
They were all like this. I've got pink, blue, purple.
Have you?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you just asked for that. Can I get the rinsed? I want the socks that's gone through a rinse with a dark hat. Dark blue, actually, or, you know.
No, you're just online. You go, I want that fucking sock.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Which we'll do soon for the kickoffs and kick-ons. I think we're doing a line of socks. Is that right, Ol? There we go. And we'll start with the blue hat rinse. That's going to be a big winner. Hey, what's Drewing? Can you explain what you were thinking?
Well, I guess there's just been a lot of chat around potentially losing a lot of players to go overseas. Let's talk about Parise, Paisami. You know, a lot of players are now sort of being linked in discussions with players going overseas. And it's one of those things that we're not going to be able to stop, but I just think we need to sort of, I don't know, if this is even viable, but if there's an opportunity to change our mindset around our contracting. Because what we're seeing is players are developing here, getting to a point where they become bona fide stars, you know, well-known on the world stage, get a good profile, and then they go overseas at their peak. When they're at their highest price, their highest value, highest in terms of notoriety. I would love us to sit there and say, let's flip it. Let's have some, like as Rugby Australia, let's have some relationships with the Clermonts, Toulouses, Leinsters, Saracens, or whatever in the world, where if we identify someone who we feel is going to have a long career, let's sign them up on a 5-year deal, for example, at Rugby Australia. But those first 2 to 3 years, they go on loan to Clermont or to Saracens or whatever. So a lot of their resources is paying for it. They're overseas, they're paying for it. They get exposed to a different type of play. They've got great facilities and resources in those clubs. But also, once they start to establish themselves as a player that can go and play on that next stage, we then get them back at their peak. You know, so it's a back-ended, say, the last 2 years of that 5-year or whatever it might be, they come back to an Australian team and write up, I don't have the contracts, we can get out of them, all that sort of stuff. And likewise, we can maybe start getting a couple of the younger guys from up north to come down and the way that we start playing. So it's not, so there is a give and take. But I just think what we're doing at the moment, we're spending all this money and time and everything and energy into these players. And people do have an appetite to go play overseas, whether it's for the cash, the cultural experience, just something that rugby offers us. We always talk about rugby union being a global game, but we're not really, you know, really sort of taking in the global aspect of it and taking advantage of it. And I just think for us, if we just flip the mindset, rather than having players go off in their peak at the ends of their career, let's let them go early, develop over there, use their money to develop our players, and then we get them back when they're in their prime.
Well, we saw it with Noah, just with the 6 games he played, right? Mm. Noah Lolasio Gits, he came back a more confident player, didn't he?
Well, it's not even just confidence. You get caught in the bubble. For Noah, I think he really I think the pressure of getting outside of that bubble where you just, you're playing the game, you know, because you enjoy it. You're judged on the game purely because of the game, not just what you do outside of the game. So I think that side of things is good to get away. But also the different pitches, if you're young, that you'll see. So just field position, defenses rushing, just those different pitches that you'll experience from playing either against an Italian team or an Irish team or an English team. They're invaluable, like Drew was talking about. So that when you come back to Australian rugby, you feel like you can add a little bit or a point of difference compared to what the players in Australia have seen, would be my answer.
There you go. Well, it's kind of flipping it on its head, isn't
it?
It's getting out in front of it so they come back at their peak. Now, so I guess, so what to explain what's drawing, it's ideas that you have on how to improve the Australian rugby, what would you say, experience?
I mean, it could be anything, right? Like David's, I mean, obviously, there's just a lot of chat about these players leaving, right? And, you know, you look at Nwangani Tuase's going, Parise's going. There's just a lot, you know, that's just from the Waratahs. There's a few more that have been linked. And there's going to be, like, there's going to be players that go, but I just think there's got to be more that we can do to maybe flip it. Let them go early.
Do you feel like other countries do it better? Like, do you feel like South Africa looks after their players that go to play in Europe and welcome them back to the Springboks better?
I mean, it's really hard to kind of judge because it's just different landscapes where we've got a different proposition with the amount of professional sports here. You know, a really competitive market in Australia because on summer and winter, you know, a lot of the kids are sort of spread out and populations don't really, I guess, you know, there's a shortage, I suppose, of depth for across all those sports. But yeah, no, I just think get them go early and then we get them when they're actual recognised stars of the world on the world stage and they're playing here in Oz. Because players are going to go.
The only issue I'd say with that is like how would someone from France reach out or try and sign these young players if they're not established? It's almost like you've got to get a couple of years under your belt.
No, well, that's why I think you've got to have a relationship. Like Rugby Australia go to Leinster and a Saracens and a Clermont and a Toulouse and say, look, you know, across maybe five or six clubs around the world, wherever it is, or Suntory as well, and to say if you've got any up-and-comers that you want exposed, like young 10s or something, that want to maybe play a bit more of a running game down here, and they come and experience it the way that we play. And then as a swap, we'll send someone up there. And they're in communications with Rugby Australia and their representatives.
It's like when we were at Toulon. Remember at Clermont, they had an academy in Fiji.
Yeah.
Where they'd peel out a couple of Fijians that had come over there. The only problem is for Fiji, they'd lose those. So while they're getting funding in Fiji, they would lose these Fijians who would then go on and play for France. So,
yeah.
I mean, I see what you're saying, but there's obviously a couple of small things you got to look at.
Oh, yeah, financially, of course. I mean, this isn't by any means a finished thing. I think it's just, the flip of the mindset and just try and change it. And then obviously people smarter than me can look at the intricacies of those contracts and how, you know, the fine details get ironed out. But, I mean, to me that would...
Well, they've got to do something, don't they? Because they're losing these players and nothing's been done so far. I love the segment. What's Drewing? Very good. Swoop, did you like the segment?
What's Drewing?
What's Drewing? Do you like it?
What's Drewing?
Yeah, what's Drewing? It's very good. Okay, hey, there's another new segment. Goodness me, what a show for the fans. It's called Debate Your Top 8. Now, 4 weeks to go before we get to the finals. We thought we'd crystal ball it a touch, as I said before. We asked you guys privately prior what your top 8 was. Hugo, who is our graphics department, well, he does everything around here, actually. He's put together a bit of a slide. We're going to put it in here and we're going to go through your top 8. And I want you guys to sort of debate, justify. I mean, you are the experts. Tell us why and how you think that will be make up of the top 8 in 5 weeks' time. Anyway, that's the concept. Let's get into it. All right, there you go, gents. Well, a little bit of a difference there. Yeah. Biv, you've gone the Blues, Swoop and Goit the Canes. Obviously, the Canes are on top at the moment. They've both got the same wins. Biv, explain yourself why you're going the Blues.
Oh, just like I said, just good momentum, good belief in their squad. And I think defensively on the weekend, they showed that they've got a lot in them. So going to have to need good defence moving forward. And that's my pick.
Swoop, Goit, Canes, can't see them dropping off out of the top spot.
I just, because of what's been going on here, I just went the current table. I thought we just had to pick the top
eight. You did.
We thought we'd be in the finals.
Pull the curtain back for a second. I sent to Goit, I said, what's your top 8? He sent back, can you send me the current top 8? I sent it to him. He said, yeah, that'll do. So if you are
Sorry. I thought that will be the 8 that will be pushing for
that's
the finals. Mine.
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's go number 2. Let's have a look. Well, there you go. No surprises there. We've done the reverse. We definitely think Wellington and Auckland will be out in front. Let's jump to number 3, please, Hugo. Well, there you go.
Ooh.
Swoop, let's start with you. You've gone the Reds there.
Well, I mean, I didn't want to put 3 New Zealand teams in the top 3, so a little bit of bias there, but also the way they played on the weekend, I think they'll come home strong. I still think they've, and there's still a little bit of improvement to be made. So I reckon they'll be a top three finish.
Brumbies.
Yeah, I don't hate that, but sorry for me, they're the Chiefs. I just think DMac and their attack, like the capacity to put points on, they're going to be there or thereabouts.
And Goyd, obviously, you've stuck strong with the Brums. You think they can hold on to end of the year?
Yeah, I mean, God forbid Swoop gives them a rap, puts them up there, like, you know.
Hang on a second. I just made Lenny my 13 in the halfway Wallabies, or well, probably three-quarter
picking
Wallabies.
One player doesn't make you a Brumby. Like, don't forget where you got – like, we gave you an opportunity there.
All right, yeah, that's you're right, because you took me under your arm for what? How many years before you pissed off to the Force?
Oh, until the cash can first.
All right, let's have a look at number four. There you go. Swoop's gone the Chiefs there. Biv's put his Brumbies. Wait, hang on. So your Brumbies still aren't in your top four there, Swoop. Yeah.
I don't know where this is going. Right. At the end of the day, you asked me for a top eight. Right?
No. I agree with you.
Who's finishing fourth.
No.
Well, that's kind of what you do.
Yeah, I know, mate. Anyway.
Very good. Biv and Goyt, you flipped around. So, Biv, you've gone the Brums and Goyt, the Chiefs. Not really much to report there. Let's have a look at Swoop's number five.
There they are. There they are.
Brumby's in there. You boys got they're currently in fifth, I believe, the Reds. Yeah, Tommy's in the nod. You're happy? You think the Reds can hold on for the rest of the year?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're playing well. And they'll be there in the back end.
And then that means the Reds, they'll face who in the quarters then? Do they play the Chiefs? Is that how it works?
Oh, mate, you tell me.
It's confusing.
I think it's one, right? Yeah, four.
Yeah,
five,
yeah, right. Yeah, there you go. All right, let's have a look at number six. There you go. Rebels, you've got the Rebels finishing up there. I mean, they really got...
They're starting to slide, in my opinion. Last couple of weeks, haven't looked great.
Yeah, but they're scrapping, you know. They've a couple of gritty wins along the way over the last couple of weeks, and I think they've still got a little bit to do. Yeah. Let's not count them out.
Yeah.
Goyt, you like the Rebels?
Well, yeah, it's not that I love the Rebels, but I just think the teams below aren't doing enough, in my opinion, to push up there. And that's, you know, as far as the 1-8, as we spoke about, I just picked 8. I didn't know that they'd be in numbers 1-8, but that was my...
Right.
They're part of the 8.
Might have been my bad comms. Number 7, let's have a look at that. There you go.
Yeah.
3 different. That's good. You got the Druid coming up there, Swoop.
You think
they can finish strong?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like Mitchie mentioned earlier, like they're pretty strong performance on the weekend, even though they went down to the Brums. But they've probably got another couple of games at home. Tough to win over there. So they've got points.
Crusaders, Biff, aren't they? We're Crusaders, aren't they? Second last? Third last. They're 10th.
Yeah, I know they're 10th. I don't know if this is even mathematically possible. I didn't look too far ahead in terms of who they've got. I just think... they're starting to get a bit of form about them. They're starting to click, which they hadn't been for the first 8 weeks. And then, and you know, the Crusaders pedigree, you just can't really rule them out.
Goyt, it is possible. Tommy's telling me the Crusaders can still finish in 7th. Goyt, you've got the Highlanders at 7.
Yeah, I do. I think from this point on, like, it is quite tight. I could see the Crusaders, they played a nice brand of rugby on the weekend, but they came up against a team that had a lot of confidence. So 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, it's I was really solid on my top 6, and then 7 and 8, I'm very flaky. I can change.
And this is my favorite one, number 8. Let's take a look at this. Swoop, you've gone the Waratahs.
Yeah.
That's where you got the Rebels. Biv and Goyt, that's where you've slipped the Drua in.
Yeah, for me, the Rebels, it was a tough one between Rebels and Drua. I think I went with Rebels just because they're already so high. They don't have to worry. They've probably got a few more points buffer than Fiji. But, for me, those two. I mean, also, top 8 in a 12-team comp. Please, leave me alone.
Goyt, you got the Drew in at the 8 there.
I do. Drew, you're doing nothing for your love in Fiji. But I would love Fiji to the Drew to push even further. Like, I think they've
Same.
The progression that they're making year to year. And especially this year, the difference that I've seen from the way they're playing and the way they travel, yeah, I think I'd love for them to be in the finals.
And then Swoop, the Waratahs. Tommy, is that mathematically possible for the Tars?
That's a good question, actually.
Yeah, no, Tommy's giving me the nod. He doesn't have a clue what he's talking about, but you think the Tars can get it done? What'd you say?
Look,
you said Brumbies, you said Moana, Reds.
Yeah, and Force.
And Force.
Winnable games. And I think, yeah, I still think they've got enough punch there and enough weapons in that back line to be able to get some wins. I mean, a large part of my loyalty and love for the Tars wants them to be there, but I honestly still believe they can do it.
Very good. All right. So they are the eights that you've picked a month out.
And what, do we revisit this on?
Yeah. On the eve of the finals, yeah. And where there was chat on our WhatsApp group about some sort of penalty.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't measure that. How are we going to measure that?
What do you want to do here, boys? Some of them that were people were saying inserting things in stuff. I don't know that we can do that. What do you want to do here?
Well, maybe a point for each of your teams that's in the eight, and then if you get the right selection, that's an extra bonus point.
And then if you lose, if out of the three of you, you lose, what do you have to do?
Well, I think maybe we should ask the listeners and the viewers, write some suggestions on a punishment.
Absolutely love it. Send in, what should the punishment be for the one of the three experts who gets the eight the most wrong?
Like, they've got to be reasonable, don't they? Like,
well, yeah, we'll get the suggestions and then we'll land on one.
Well, we'll just put it to a vote, won't we? It doesn't matter what they are.
Yeah, it sounds like a prof. Like, I mean, you don't put your balls on the line there, but you get to vote on
that. So I have been told that my opinion holds no weight. So, no, prof, column up there. I can do my top opinion. Eight. I'll do it. Storm. Yes.
Thank you.
Roosters, Broncos. No. All right. Very good. Hey, mate, that was Debate Your Top Eight. Hey, we're running very close to the end here, but as we go, they have announced the Wallaroos squad.
Mm-hmm.
13 of the Waratahs are in the starting 15. Of the starting 15 are in the 30 squad. Pretty amazing for them. There's going to be 9 debutantes. Have you seen the team, Drew?
I saw the squad, and I think it's reflective of the form of the players. I think Joanne Yap, the new Wallaroos coach coming in, you know, fresh set of eyes, and some players that have been there for a long time have missed out. Some players that have been in good form this year have got their opportunity, and I'm actually really excited to sort of see them get together and that first hit out. But not just the first hit out. I think once they start spending some more time together in camps and playing games, where they can go.
There is a doubleheader this weekend. The Waratahs Brumbies are playing. But before that, the Wallaroos are taking on Canada. That'll be their first hit out. Wow. I'm going to be going along with some...
Didn't realise it was happening so quickly.
Yes, yeah, quick turnaround. So very exciting for them. There's a one-week camp, Tommy's telling me. So good luck to the Wallaroos. I will be there.
They're the girls.
Cheering them on. All right, hey, Gits, all that's left to do. I know you're probably falling asleep up there in the Northern Hemisphere.
No, I love it, mate. Love it.
Oh, Cinco de Mayo. You're probably 10 tequilas deep, are you?
Well, I reckon by the time I catch up with the boys, they'll be at Swoop's level, so I might just call it a night.
Just a reminder, socials. Where can they find us, Swoop?
Everywhere and anywhere on any social platform with the handle Kickoffs and Kickons.
No, Kickoffs, Kickons.
If you're going to YouTube. And anywhere else, just Kickoffs, Kickons.
Very good. And the merch, who was on merch this week?
Yeah, I was on merch. Yeah. Go to the link, budgiesmuggler.com/CocoShow. All you thickies out there, you know, going to have to wait or lose some. Otherwise, you can get a shirt.
That is the message to take away from today's episode. and hey, do you want to do a little tease for who you've secured for next week? Because if we say his name now, he's forced to do it, Gits.
Yeah, well, I will. It's so what noise would a sheep make?
Bar.
Okay, so put an M at the front of it.
Umba.
Umba? Okay,
get rid of the B.
Ma? Ma nonu?
Hey, Ma. Oh. Alan.
One of the all-time great All Blacks. That'll be fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you for a tremendous show.
Gordy, just quickly, what's that necklace you're wearing?
Oh, so when we're walking around, there's one of the Samoan ladies there. She said, welcome to the group. I said, Fafatai, and I'm now part of the crew. I think for your first game, obviously it's how they, it's like their congratulations. So, yeah, I got this beautiful little necklace, I think it's called, or lei, or I'm not sure, but yeah, Fafatai.
Fantastic. Nice. And when we get to San Diego, hopefully we each get one of those necklaces. Fantastic. All right. Hey, all that's left to do is for Drew to give us one hell of a sign off.
Cuckoo! Strong. All right. I'm going back to work.
G'day. Please, if you like the show, well, show us you liked it by pressing like.
and subscribe so we can exist, because we don't have any more money. We need your support. And make sure you check out our other videos.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.